You are listening to Live with Thrive, an interactive conversation with host Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Stephanie will be showcasing nonprofit agencies and business leaders that help support the community through Thrive, as well as discussing upcoming events and local news. Catch the Live with Thrive show every second Tuesday of the month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.
Good morning. Guess what time it is? It is 9 o'clock. That means it is Live with Thrive time. Yay!
What time is it?
Live with Thrive time.
What time?
Oh, it is 10:02. But
my that hour went by fast, didn't it?
It did. I've been here since 9, dancing around him, like you said. Good morning, my wonderful guests. Today I have the lovely Miss Becky Roberts and Mr. Jim Heckert of Gerald Champion Regional Medical Center. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for us coming.
How's my hair?
It looks fabulous. Thank you. Everyone, her hair looks fabulous.
You had to bring that up.
Mr. Heckert, your hair looks fabulous.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So I'm so pleased that you all agreed to come on because this is a new dealy bopper for Thrive in Southern New Mexico. We're very excited. You know, we're broadcasting in Ruidoso, Cloudcroft, and Alamogordo. So it's a huge stepping stone for us as we continue to grow our agency. So I want to let everyone know that's listening that Mr. Heckert and Ms. Roberts are both Thrive in Southern New Mexico board members. And I want to start by talking a little bit about Thrive, a lot about Thrive, actually, because that's what I do. So you both have been on the board for how long now?
2009.
Is when you joined?
Yes.
Okay, and how about
same
you?
Same time frame.
Same time frame. And what led you both to become a board member, get involved? And, of course, back then we were the United Way. What made you want to get involved with our organization specifically on a personal level?
You want me to start?
Sure, go ahead, sir.
So many of you all may not know that I'm a retired Army guy. And so my exposure to a combined federal campaign was fairly significant while I was in the military, but never really had the opportunity to live and participate in small town rural communities. So when I retired, I went to Washington, Indiana, and before coming here, and was introduced to United Way at the time. And that's where I got a sense of just how incredibly important rural communities are and the immense dedication it is for folks that make a difference in people's lives in areas that sometimes are challenged just by just the ruralness of where we live, and then what's going on in the country in general with reductions in funding to nonprofits and things like that. And so for me I just thought it definitely had a sense of purpose, and the money stays in town. Sometimes charities they're important, but you really don't see the benefit of it. Here, you do, and by sitting on the board, which is always amazing, we got people on the board from across the community, really well represented, and I think we would have 13 agencies now.
Oh, yeah.
And so we drill down on that to make sure that it's meritorious and that it's effective, and because at the end of the day, we're just trying to help the community, and I'm so impressed with the board members that participate on that, because you always wonder, you know, you see a lot of national advertisements and things. One thing I've never doubted is that our community is getting what they should out of a program like this, which is as much money that's collected as possible goes to where it's needed locally.
Sure, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And like I always say, our community is so giving all the time, even obviously in a pandemic. And we'll get to that in a moment. Becky, what about you?
I told her.
What he said, except I wasn't in the military. When I came to Gerald Champion in 2007, the CFO was the then chair of the campaigns. He was on the board, and I was handed that mantle. I was asked to take things over at that time, and if I'm being
honest...
And
she has never let it go.
Well, no, that's true. But if I'm being honest, I don't know that I knew what I was getting myself into, but boy, what a great journey.
I'm sure you did not know what you were getting into, because before we went live, share with listeners what you were sharing with me, what you started with, the campaigns when you took it over.
Well, we have a 12-year comparative stat sheet in front of us with all kinds of very impressive numbers. And back in 2007, when I came on board, I think this just wasn't a focus, I think, at that time. They maybe raised $15,000. My first year of taking this thing over, and with all the help of an army of people, our first amount of money raised in our 1 month long campaign, $52,838. So we were motivated by that, or at least I was, and it's just gotten bigger and better and bigger and better every single year since.
It's amazing, isn't it? Now, Mr. Hecker, how many employees would you say Gerald Champion has roughly this year?
Well, actually, it's more like 1,200.
Wow.
But that's contractors and folks that come and go. But if you looked at core, around 1,000.
That's amazing. And I know you all have grown, obviously, since 2007. But, you know, it's amazing how you motivate your employees to participate and to give back to the community. So, Becky, how do you sit there when you know it's about Thrive campaign time, and not only do you have your regular job to do, but almost being a Thrive coordinator, if you will, campaign coordinator, is almost a full-time job for you with those thousand-plus employees. How do you plan that and manage it?
Well, you certainly can't be this successful by yourself. With the hospital just being so supportive of things, I get to run wild.
Right.
And I have 60 or so directors or department representatives to help me out. When we start to think about, you know, how are we going to motivate our staff, it doesn't take much. People want to give. They want to give to organizations in town, and they want to give to organizations that they may have had some involvement with. And a lot of the organizations have touched our employees, and so they're totally devoted and they're willing to give back. But it really doesn't take a lot. We do have incentives for all of our staff, and we keep thinking of new and creative incentives. But if we're going to ask for folks to give of themselves, reach deep into their pockets, or even reach shallowly into their pockets, a little bit of a donation will go a long way when you're talking 1,000 people. But we do. I like to try to be creative about what's going to incent folks. If we're expecting you to give, then we want to give you back something. So we do have a lot of incentives. We have annual. Well, we used to. Remember when people could actually get to come together in a room and stuff?
Right.
We used to have award ceremonies, and we gave not just individual awards, but we gave department-level awards. We give awards based on the amount that folks are able to donate, and I could go into all kinds of detail. Is this the time to do that?
You're welcome to touch on it.
Okay. Well, when we talk about individual donations, we ask folks if they can give $5 a pay period, and what is that? One Starbucks coffee. If they can give a $5 a pay period donation, that equals $130 for the year. They are then entered into a drawing for 2 round trip tickets on any airline and 2 days off with pay, so that they can get away, enjoy themselves. There is a not to exceed on that particular incentive. But if they do $10 a pay period, then they get 2 ticket entries into that drawing. If you're not able to do $5 a pay period, if you only have a small latte and you want to give $3 a pay period, then there also is a drawing for a day off with pay for those folks that do $3 a pay period.
And everybody loves that.
And they are actually, not to confuse people, but those are actually, after the winner is drawn and the person is packed their bags, then we combine those two buckets and then draw for an additional 20 days off with pay.
Wow.
So we do have a lot of people that we want to thank them for what they give to us. We have an incentive for employees that pledge $1,000 or more. And you would be amazed at how many of our employees are able to help us out in that regard. The hospital will match dollar for dollar that particular donation.
Over $1,000.
$1,000 plus. So if you give to your church and you write them a check every year, do it through Thrive, we will then allow your church to have a $2,000 donation provided to them.
And this is for hospital employees.
It's for hospital employees.
That's a great incentive. And it really helps out the nonprofit that is receiving.
Well,
because, you know, for the employee to put in an amount and then their recipient get double,
right.
It's amazing, especially for some of these smaller churches or a softball team or, you know, the list goes on, a pet or an animal rescue or what have you. I mean, it doesn't have to be a specific agency that Thrive already supports. It can be, but if your heart is passionate about something outside of that, by all means, as long as they're a nonprofit, you can certainly donate. That's fantastic.
So the mechanism is important. Payroll deduction is the only way to go if you can swing it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because it's almost, you don't miss it. You know, in a small amount. I mean, some people pay as, you know, for a soda. You know, think about how we spend money. So when you go into the next year, just add 50 cents. Or, I mean, it mounts. I always say it's not about how much you give. It's do it, payroll deduct, in a little bit of time times 1,000 people. Gets to be real money.
It does.
And so it's helpful, and it's not, no one's bearing a burden, although there's many of you, but part of it is just the simpler you can make it and consistent, makes everything better.
Gosh, that's my motto this year. Make everything simple.
Simple but consistent?
Yeah. I mean, because like you said, even a dollar, if a dollar per paycheck, that's $26. That'll pay for several meals at a senior center.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, it just adds up so quickly. And if several people did just a dollar, you know. And so I also want to bring up, before you continue on, your incentives for your staff, because it's really important for the community to know how you all do this. Yes, you are one of, if not the largest employer in the county. And I think outside of Holloman, we're excluding the base. But
well, non-governmental kind of.
Right. And being that, you know, you do all of these wonderful things to incent your employees to donate, we have other businesses in town that mimic what you all have started, what you specifically, Becky, have really, and Mr. Hecker both. I mean, you guys have really drew out this beautiful picture of how you want this to go. And then we have other businesses in town that say, well, how are they doing that? I want to do what they're doing. And they do. And they start having competitions and raffles and all kinds of fun things. And it just gets everybody excited. And I know several years ago, there were some businesses in town, Thrive supporters, that did competitions amongst each other. And they passed around an award plate. And I think we're going to start getting into that again, because it's just fun competition, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gets everybody really excited and to participate.
And participation is a big deal. That's the key, is to get folks to participate. And for the last two campaigns, we've been focused on first-time donors.
Right.
We've really, really wanted to bring people on that didn't realize how good it feels and to be a part of this effort and to feel so good about supporting the community. So the first year, we were looking at number of first-time donors. So back in 2019, we had 166 out of our 1,000. Then I have 1,002 employees. Those numbers are plus or minus.
Sure.
And then this last campaign, 213 first-time donors. And, of course, there's incentives for those folks as well.
That's amazing.
Because you want to get them on board and get them all excited, and excitement is my middle name.
Yes, we the ones of us that know you, we do know that.
Well, part of it is, in all of this, first, you have to have a product to sell, right? And Thrive sells itself.
Yes.
When we know, and particularly when we could have agency fairs and things like that, there are incredible people working in these not-for-profits. Mm-hmm. Incredible. And they sell it themselves. And so it's not that difficult, honestly, to get people excited to help people less fortunate in our town that, you know, only by the grace of God there go I kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so, or we all know somebody that's been helped. And so that's where the family and the focus is so important, and that you do have a cause you can believe in, and that you're comfortable that it's going to the right place, and you're directing it in many cases.
Absolutely.
Well, how good is that?
And it feels good. And, you know, being a smaller community, we're not one of these major cities in the U.S. So, you know, word gets around fast, and people know people through, you know, just because we're a tight-knit community. And, man, when somebody's in need, it's amazing how the people of our county step up and help each other. It's truly amazing. And we hear it all the time. I'm sure you all hear it all the time, that when people come in new to the area, they think, gosh, everybody here is so nice and so friendly. I really love it because everybody's so friendly. And it comes from, and I talk about this when I'm out talking about Thrive, everybody's deep down has compassion for our friends and our neighbor here in the community. So I'm so excited to be a part of this organization because we get to, I mean, how lucky are we as being part of the Thrive family get to do what we do and help others that are less fortunate? It's amazing. So
if I may, Stephanie, yeah. Jim mentioned agency fair, and that is our kickoff for our 30-day campaign every year.
That the hospital does, yes.
Yes. And it's, I think it's just, it really, it's worthy of airtime, as it were. So the agency fair is when all 13 or however many agencies, they come to the hospital, again, back in the day, and they line the hallways, and our staff is, from a certain time period to a certain time period, our staff is able to come and talk to them, and they basically ask the question of the agencies, if I were to designate money to your agency, what's the event, or what is the product, or what's the program?
What's my dollar going to do?
Where does my dollar go? And so for them to make it real, to be face-to-face with somebody from the agency and hear anecdotes and stories, the agency fair is the kickoff, and it's exactly what we need to get our 30-day campaign off the ground. And we've done it we did it virtually this year, which I'm not sure it didn't bring more people on board. And I have to say, Stephanie put together an amazing video that acted as the agency fair, and all of our employees were sent that via email. So they were watching the agency fair versus face-to-face. We didn't have quite the turnout, but it was really important that our folks come face-to-face with these agencies.
Even though you didn't have quite the turnout, and we're in unprecedented times over the last 10, 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you did for the 2020-2021 campaign, which, by the way, is still not over. We still have another month and a half to go in our current campaign, by the way. But
wink, nudge.
Tell us how Gerald Champion favored this time.
Well, we reached an unfreaking precedented $235,585 in 30 days, folks.
That is amazing. Amazing.
Unprecedented. And, well, and you know within what that means as far as next year's goal or this year's goal. Yeah. I'm getting a hairy eyeball. dare I say it, $250,000 for this year's goal?
I don't know yet, Becky. Depends on, we keep adding 40 to 50 people new to the staff every year. So that kind of dictates if you got more staff, we should be doing more.
Well, considering we did $35,000 more than last year, I think adding $15,000 to that would minimally be what you would expect.
So
$250,000.
$250,000 sounds pretty good to me.
That's $250,000.
Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. And my heart is fluttering all of a sudden. But, you know, it's it's awesome. I'm just – and I really think we're going to have the best year going forward. I mean, we are having such a fantastic campaign right now. You know, everything's been virtual. All of our events have been canceled for the most part. I mean, we've had a few little nibbles here and there throughout the community, but everything has been virtual and Zoom and video and phone call. And it's just been a little trying at times, but I think we're getting a lot more people to respond in that way than them physically coming to whatever we're doing. So I'm just so blown away by the support that not only the employees, but the directors and the doctors and the board, and of course all of the leadership, all of you that are doing to help our agency and our agency partners to get where they need to go, because their requests aren't going down.
Yeah.
They're going to continue to go up. Matter of fact, we're about to have our funds allocation, which is happening in a few more weeks. And these folks that have turned in applications to receive money through Thrive, they didn't go away and they didn't drop down to minimal. I mean, it's more than ever. So we appreciate all of that you all have.
Well, see, so some of it is kind of fun in the way that how many different ways can you build off of this? For example, 4-H, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So we buy meat, a lot of steers.
Yeah.
Where's the beef? 4-H, which helps them.
Right.
Right? And then we have it prepared, which helps the people that do that.
Mm-hmm. Local
right?
folks.
Then we auction it to the staff at unheard of discounted prices.
It is unheard of.
and how good is that? And so, but it's just interesting how one thing, and this is Thrive in general, it's not just one person. It explodes in touching many people. And this is a way to do it. And part of the reason we have so much fun with it, because it just reaches so many people. And it makes you feel good that you can help those young 4-H'ers and help businesses, particularly in this time where this kind of thing is needed more than ever.
Yeah. And everybody looks forward to that steer auction. Everybody looks forward to it. Isn't it amazing?
That is no small feat.
It is not.
As I know you know.
Yes, folks, I've been on the Moo crew for the last couple of years, so it's been a lot of fun, and it's challenging at times, but we get through it. You know, every year there's one tiny little tick we've got to change around, but it works out for the best, and everybody gets amazing steer meat. You know, home grass-fed yumminess. So we appreciate those kiddos that do that. And then, like you said, they in turn get help. And it's just a snowball effect.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I think by people hearing, again, some of the incentives that you guys offer, it's going to incent other businesses to want to do something along those lines. So that's great. Now, we've kind of... danced around the pandemic a little bit. Everybody's year has been just so tremendous. Is there anything, Mr. Heckert, that you can share with us about how the employees and staff, the directors, the doctors, how everyone's handling, from your perspective, how things have been going the last several months?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think about it, back in March is when all this started. We went through Herculean efforts to redesign the hospital, access to the hospital, and frankly did not see that much until October 24th. Onesie-twosies, not very many presenting to the emergency room.
So you were over-prepared.
We were over-prepared, did all kinds of things, but which was good because the reality is you never know when it's going to hit.
Sure.
And then on one weekend, we had 10 admissions on one weekend.
And that's a lot when you didn't have but one or two at a time.
Yeah, yeah. And so now, since then, we've been averaging in the hospital 10 to 14 COVID patients, probably 20 to 30% of them on ventilators or ICU level care. That is lessening now. So I didn't go to the report this morning, but yesterday we had 7 patients, one ICU level ventilator patient. So my sense is the intensity is going down a little bit, which is good. The emergency room is, you know, in the very beginning, we split that out so people weren't being mixed. And so COVID patients would come to one side and normal ER patients would go to the other side kind of thing. But even that has dropped down because at one point we were 20 to 30. Now we're 10, averaging 10 patients a day that present, some already positive, feeling conditions right, getting worse, that kind of thing. But admissions, averaging about one admission a day, really. So hopefully across the country from hearing it from this weekend, it seems like that's going down. We're all worried about the Super Bowl and what that might do. So we'll know in a week or so if that really going to spike things or not. So we're dealing with it. We've locked down the hospital. We don't allow visitors for obvious reasons. We hate that because we think that's such a big part of patient care and all that, but we just can't put the staff at risk and other patients at risk because you don't know where
right,
people go once they get in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to control once that happens. So that's going to continue for a while. The vaccination program will be important to our community. We are participating in that. We have a big drive this weekend helping the city with vaccinating seniors. That's going to be 1,200 done on Saturday and Sunday. But our normal is, because we're never quite sure what we're going to get. So we really don't know until Monday or Tuesday mm-hmm. what we get sent to us. And now that we've followed the state's guidelines on that as close as we can, so now we're beginning to allow other people that meet those criteria to be scheduled for those vaccinations. And that's ultimately the key to the community is the more people we get vaccinated, the bit quicker we can approach that herd immunity topic you hear about and it'll be better for everyone concerned. But that's a journey. You know, we have 67,000 people in our county. Mm-hmm. And now under 16 aren't supposed to get that vaccine at this point. So
you're out, Steph.
So you figure, when I last looked at it, and you got to really challenge the numbers a bit, they were saying the county, the New Mexico average was 11% vaccinated. We were at 7%, but that includes kids that don't get the vaccine. So I'm not quite sure. I just know we're looking to do more. To try to get us going as in partnership with the rest of the hospital and pharmacies and all that. So as that picks up and the vaccinations get more stable in being shipped to us, we should see an improvement of our vaccination rate, which will be important.
That's great.
I have my hand up. Otherwise, I don't get a word in.
Oh, right.
Okay, I think, you know, the two words that are critical to this whole COVID thing flexibility, and leadership. The flexibility piece is that we've done as best we can with the very changing environment. We don't even know how much of the testing media we're going to get on any given day. We have to save some for patients, but we need to be able to test the community and others. We never know how much vaccine we're going to get on any given day, right. So we can't schedule people to receive the vaccination.
It's like
and
a
so
juggling
on.
Act.
It is totally a juggling act. The man at the helm, Mr. Jim Eckert, it's all about leadership. And Jim, he's rolling his eyes. But it's all about the person that takes you through this journey and keeps a calm demeanor and is as flexible as they come. We couldn't have done it without Jim. Could not have done it.
We got a lot of great people going to extraordinary efforts in the hospital right now. And so, and I don't see that ending anytime soon. Yeah. So just bear with us and know we're trying to work through that. It was interesting. I asked myself, how many COVID tests have we done at the hospital? 20,000.
Since March?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And so, and that testing venue has changed almost every week. We're looking at getting short shipped something. What do we got to do? We do have a mechanism where we can rapid test in the hospital, but I have a limited quality. We were the first hospital in New Mexico to get that capability.
Really? That's fantastic.
Just because we happen to have the machine in place, right?
Yeah.
And it was just ordering our cartridge. And so in the beginning, we were sending kits to San Juan because San Juan was getting overrun in the beginning, mm-hmm. and they needed that testing capability. Mm-hmm. But that's when we were getting 450 a week. Now we get 120.
Testing individuals a week.
Yeah. Well, no, that's how many test kits I get.
That's how many you're
just
getting
for the
week.
Rapid
wow.
test. So I have to use reference labs because we do about 120 a day is how many we do.
So explain to us what happens after the test is given to the individual and they go home and wait for the results. That test then goes where?
It can go to California. It can go to Phoenix. Or it can go to North Carolina.
So it's being physically shipped to these other places to be tested. It's not done here at the hospital or up in Albuquerque.
The majority of them are not done at the hospital.
So that is the reason for, it being 2 or 3 days. Now, if it's a rapid test, how does that work?
That's done in our lab, and it can be resulted in an hour.
That's amazing. Wow.
So what we do is... we've mandated anybody being admitted to the hospital has to have that test done.
Sure.
Then we know where to place them. Because the unit we have, they're not spread throughout the hospital. All the COVID patients are essentially in our ICU. Mm-hmm. We've changed that 3 times over these past few months as we've learned and kind of understood the science and how to manage things. And so for now, for the level that we're at, we keep it in the ICU that I could expand to 20 patients if I had to. And that's part of why, but it has the windows, so you can easily manage people better because COVID patients, and when they crash quickly. And there's no warning. It's not like you're slowly getting there and all of a sudden, boom, it happens. Yeah. You've got to have it in an ICU environment. So we're thankful we can do that. But then we've had to change other things in the rest of the hospital to accommodate that, and that's what we're doing.
What happens then if you luckily you all are able to adapt with change? a lot of people don't like that, but, you have to do what you have to do, especially in these times, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the patients that come in that do need ICU care that aren't COVID?
They go on the med-surg unit.
Okay.
And we bring the ventilator if they, there's several layers, but we'll have ventilated patients on a regular ICU. Not many. Not regular ICU, but regular med-surg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we still keep the same nursing staff ratios and all that kind of stuff. So fortunately, most times we don't have that many ventilator patients, so that hasn't been an issue. But it's still a challenge for nurse staffing and everything else because, a while ago, we could have as many as 10 between the two units, 10 ventilated patients. And you really have to have a lot of nursing support for that.
Sure. Now, speaking of challenges for the nursing staff and even the doctors, all the medical staff, really, you know, a lot of us that aren't at the hospital every day, we see the news and we see how other health care professionals in the country are dealing with, and of course they're probably dealing with a lot more death and things like that. How are your medical staff dealing with the pressures of this pandemic? Even though you said, you know, for the first several months it was onesies and twosies, and then all of a sudden, how are they dealing with it mentally, and how are they staying?
It's difficult. I mean, you're basically on edge every day, right? I mean, even in the beginning, you never knew, mm-hmm. right? You could actually have a patient that wasn't positive when they were tested that turned positive in the hospital because these patients have a longer length of stay. You know, our average length of stay is 3 days, mm-hmm. but a COVID patient can be 10 or 15. So kudos out to the nursing staff and our docs who constantly are never sure, because nothing's perfect. So and we see that in the community. How many of us are just ready for this to be over with, right? And imagine
Absolutely.
In your work environment where every day you go in and you're confronted with this, and that's what they do. And you know, we've always had infectious disease in a hospital. We just have a different kind now, and because of its so much bigger than normal, because we would have isolation rooms and we would normally treat things like that, but this is too many to have them scattered all throughout the hospital. And the other theory is you want to keep it confined to minimize exposure. And so all those kind of things come into play. But I think our staff and nurses in particular have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. But boy, it definitely wears on you. There's no question about it.
I'm sure.
We have to plan a heck of a hospital week and a heck of a nurses week come May.
Well, hopefully the gathering will be lightened up by then.
Let's hope so. We're still at six. Six people.
Six at a time.
Right. Yeah. you know, I was thinking about that when the governor said kids could go back into the school, and I'm thinking, does that mean the mass gathering is over? The six people, we can have more than six now? No. So I pray for the teachers every single day. But I appreciate you sharing that about the staff, because it's super important, you know, to have to get up and do this every single day, and you just don't know what you're going to face when you go into work. And it's your job, it's your livelihood, and to go in and not know how it's going to affect you, and then you got to go home. And I know some friends of mine that work up there, and they go home and they strip down into their regular clothes in the garage before they go in with their family, mm-hmm. because they just don't know. None of us do.
Right.
And, you know, they want to...
Well, it's not just the staff, but it's the patients too.
Sure.
Think about the hoops we're putting people through.
I know it.
I mean, just... And that's one thing, if no one gets anything else out of this meeting, out of this conference today, the hospital's safe to come to. Do not delay care. We see way too much of people putting things off and coming, and frankly, sometimes it's been too late, that we couldn't help them because we were afraid. And there's no reason to be afraid. We're keeping that segregated. And please, if people feel that way, and I hate it when we have to, you know, surgeries. Can't do surgery without a COVID test. Well, I miss my COVID test, you know, and all those kind of things. But we can't, it's not only about you, it's about the techs. It's about the other patients, it's, you know, all those kind of things. So we have to be ultra conservative on that. And we're looking at other... Science has evolved unbelievably since March. And so we're still looking at things that should help make things better, but we're not going to promise it until we know we can deliver it.
That's a great point. It's a great point. Did you have anything to add, Miss Becky?
No.
I mean, because you're also there. You talk to the staff every day. being in your what your job is, compliance and making sure everybody. I mean, I'm sure this whole pandemic has been a huge stressor for you as well, being what you do.
Well, everybody just has to be smart about it. Everybody has to wear a mask. Everybody has to 6 foot distance, and just be smart about it.
Hey, let me, before we go, I just want to say one other thing, and that is appreciating Becky. You got to have a Becky. Everybody has their Beckys, right? But we got Becky with bold capital.
You have the original Becky, and the superstar.
Because when you love what you do, it shows. She really helps build that same infectious nature with the staff. And a large part of our success has been able to have the same dedicated person working through this and never being satisfied with what we've done and what else can we do to make it fun and to make it simple. And so, Becky, thank you for that.
Hear, hear, Becky.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
If I had a sound effect button, I would push it. I want to thank you. I want to thank you both again so very much for coming in and not only talking about our organization Thrive, but giving everyone a sense of what's been happening and how things are going and how we're moving forward. Before we go, I want to jump back into the Thrive pool one more time. And I want to get from both of you how you see our organization moving into the future. I think it's important, you know, you both know, being on the board, what my immediate goals are for the next couple of years. But how do you all, as longtime board members and supporters of Thrive and the community, how do you see us going into the future? Don't everybody talk at once now.
Well, I know, Stephanie, one of your goals is to expand into Ruidoso and surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to get the hospital in Ruidoso involved so that we can have a hospital-to-hospital competition.
Oh, that would be a blast.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm just... I've just accepted the vice presidency for the board for the next 2 years, and then the presidency after that. So I'm excited to be back in that leadership.
And congratulations.
Seat. Well, thank you so much. I'd like to see a bigger staff in the office. And
you know what? I would like to see a bigger staff in the office too.
Party of two. So we'll
you got that many.
Yeah, but that'll grow as other things grow. Sure. That the need for more staff will become very apparent, and we've got some opportunities. But I think Ruidoso would be fun. I think more agents or more businesses in town, get them on board, get them excited. I think there's great things to happen.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and I'm excited to be on this journey with everybody.
Yeah, you're committed now, 6 years.
Oh, dang.
Dang. Neither one of you, by the way, are allowed to retire ever. I'm just saying right now. Mm-hmm. And I have listeners that are witnesses to my statement. So how about you, Mr. J?
So, you know, one thing I'd like to, you know, it's your mission statement says it all, right? So it's not about subsisting. It's about thriving, right? When we changed our name to that, there was a reason for that. And so one thing I'd like us to do is to continue to look at how do we create opportunities for people to really kind of get a jump start. How do we help them doing that as we go forward? I love the other activities you do, the Coat for Kids, the Stuff the Bus. People kind of forget Thrive gets involved in those. The Day of Caring is incredible with Holloman Air Force Base, who's such a great partner to our community.
Absolutely.
Coming out, helping people. Just how can we continue to enhance those things and at the end of the day make a difference in our community, but make a difference that's we're just not living hand to mouth all the time, right? And so how can, and that's where the board and the community can help us, where How can we do better at that and just continue to be a source for improving the lives of our community and making it sustainable and not worrying about from one year to the next, how are you going to make it? So how can we do that? And that's a journey, but I think it's something we can do because this community is a very giving community. I love this community.
I know. So, it makes you proud to be part of this community because there are so many wonderful giving people in the world. But when you live in a community that celebrates the giving of our friends and family and our neighbors, and it's so different. So I appreciate that. Thank you. And thank you both for your leadership and not only for our organization and for me personally, but with the hospital and our community in general. I mean, we're so fortunate to have you both leading the charge through this crazy time. And I know it's going to get better. Everything is going to probably won't be back to normal like we knew it, but it's going to be improving, and it is improving. And I think that with that said, everything going, yes, sir.
Can I just bring up a couple little things about the hospital?
You sure can, please.
Since I'm here.
Yes.
And since we have an audience, literally.
We do.
So construction, despite COVID, is still ongoing at
it's
the
amazing.
Hospital.
It's amazing. Is it done? It looks beautiful.
We're still waiting for, you know, everything's delayed, but we opened up a new administrative annex because I had to boot HR out to make room for clinical activity on that far end of the campus. And right next to it is a beautiful conference center. So if we ever get to the point where we're going to have gatherings again, it is the first class. You know, I think you guys will be amazed at how that turned out.
Well, it looks beautiful from the outside. I mean, even the little outside mm-hmm. area in between, mm-hmm. I mean, it's lovely.
Yeah, so that's going to be awesome. Now, that's being occupied as we speak. We're still waiting on a few things because we're going to have catering and a kitchen in the conference center and things like that. So we're excited about that. And that'll probably be a while before we can, because we're also looking at doing the vaccines there because it's big space. So we're working through that. But the buildings you see, the three-story building, so everybody remembers, I have no place to put any physicians that we recruit here. We're constantly adding some incredible physicians to our community. And so that's going to be a three-story, 60,000-square-foot facility that we're moving the surgery center that was built in 2006 into new space at the bottom of that. And the surgeons will be moving into that building along with OB, cardiology, and who am I leaving out?
The physician.
And pain.
Pain management.
And so with the idea of kind of one-stop shopping, a lot of the services that the surgeons that will just go down and take care of their business in the same building, that should be opening in May.
Wow.
So lots of moving parts, and you're going to – so please bear with us as we kind of move people around to try to make that happen. But that should happen. Now, the emergency room in the back, you've seen all that, we're doubling the size of the emergency room. So what you're seeing there in mid-April, they'll be done with the new part. Be done. But now they're going to take the old part and demolish it and make it like the new part. So we're going to flip all that into the new part. So there's going to be some challenges because we still, that's taking the longest. So that's another year to get done.
Well, yeah, because you're not, you can't close the ER.
We're still seeing patients, right? So,
yeah.
But that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
The trauma bays are state of the art, all that kind of thing. So we're really excited about that. And so it's, again, all of our goal is just like Thrive, we have to be relative to our community every day, and we got to make sure we're staying on top of it. You guys are doing it. We're trying our best to stay on top of it and allow the community to be proud of their hospital.
Sure. So. That's great. I can't believe it's already that three-story building is going to be done in May. I was going to ask if I could rent out the space for six people, but never mind. You're using it for vaccines. Becky, you were going to say?
Was I?
You had that look on your face. I can't see your face.
That's the only look I have. So
yes, folks, they're wearing their masks.
You caught her speechless? That's a first.
And we have it recorded. So, no, again, thank you all.
We're so happy to be in partnership with Thrive. We're so happy to be involved as a hospital with a great nonprofit, leader of nonprofits. So thank you for that.
We're very grateful. Great partnership. Well, if you all don't have anything else, we can wrap it up.
Do we get to answer the phones? Are there phone calls?
I don't think we have
caller,
that connected.
Caller line one. Go ahead.
She's having way too much fun in here.
Now, see what I have to live with.
I've always wanted to do that.
Y'all are so much fun. See, folks, we have a great Thrive board. See what I have to put up with? No. I'm just teasing. You guys have been great. Thank you so much for being here and helping answer some of these questions that I know that the community members may have. I know it was very informative. I know we've been chit-chatting for a bit, so it may have felt like long, but it flew by pretty quick. I mean, it's almost 11 o'clock. It's 10:53 a.m., folks. And right before we go, I want to mention that Thrive still has coats. I know it's going to get cold this weekend. Mike said earlier we have a small chance of snow this weekend, definitely up in the mountains, but Thrive in Southern New Mexico has coats for kids. We have all sizes. We have quite a few. Come by the Thrive office at 1601 10th Street in Alamogordo. We will have them available until it starts to warm up. I'm not going to take them away. And I'm telling you, we're getting people weekly still. Even though we've had some bouts of cold, we are still getting requests for coats. So we're pleased to be there for that need. We also have, on a completely other note, we have our 30 Guns in 30 Days tickets still available. We have under 400 left out of 1,000. Once they're gone, they're gone. The winning tickets will be revealed in June of this year, so you've got a few more months. Have you all bought your tickets yet? I'm going to say no. They're both looking at me. better get them before they're gone. I mean, really, if you want to purchase them, you can do that over the phone. You can call 437-8400, and that will reach the Thrive office, and we can do a credit card over the phone. That's no problem. But come out and support your local nonprofits through Thrive. One other thing I want to mention is right now our 2020/2021 campaign, our goal is $400,000. We are about $15,000 away from that goal as of last week. And I know that, I'm so proud and excited to say that. Like, literally, I'm giddy right now because it's amazing. I mean, we've been in a pandemic our entire campaign. I'm not saying it's been easy because it hasn't. I mean, I've had to wheel and deal and call people and and be creative in another way that I wasn't before. And it's been so exciting. I love doing that part of my job, you know, and I'm just so thrilled that, I mean, you all obviously hit the half point mark of our goal, over our half point mark, really. And we've had some major businesses and organizations step up this year and donate, and we're very, very pleased with that. And we want to continue, and we just need that, again, $15,000 to hit.
So some business that's listening to this right now that hasn't gotten on board yet with Thrive, you're thinking, $15K, I could write that check. It would be very worthwhile. And
absolutely, Becky. That's the goal right now. Who's got that?
There's somebody listening right now. Someone listening right now that wants the opportunity to be involved in this awesome, awesome project.
And what happens is that money goes right back into the community, to our local nonprofits within Otero County. Some are in Lincoln. We're actually expanding that, as Becky mentioned earlier. But yeah, folks, $15,000 away. Can you believe that? Is that not something to be proud of? I'm so pleased, so excited. So again, we're gonna wrap up now. Thank you again for being here.
I still got a half an hour worth of talk in me.
Oh boy! All right, folks, you can call Becky at. So thanks again, guys. This has been the second Live with Thrive show. It is Tuesday, February 9th of 2021. The time is 10:56.
You've been listening to the Live with Thrive show with your host, Stephanie Hale of Thrive in Southern New Mexico. Catch the Live with Thrive show the second Tuesday of each month on KHII Active Radio, 88.9 Plowcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 Ruidoso.